things which were told.
That is awesome. Thank you again. That was amazing. Amen. Well, again, Merry Christmas. Just a reminder, we won't be having a Christmas Eve service tonight. So spend time with friends and family. So this is our Christmas service. Want to remind you, this coming Wednesday night, there is youth service, but there's no adult midweek service. But we'll start back up the first Wednesday of January next year. So that's coming soon. I just have a quick message I want to share with you before we have a time of communion. And then we're going to have a candle lighting. Awesome. We can get it dark in here. You'll think it's dark. It'll be like a Christmas Eve service. Amen. And so this message today I want to speak is called The Gift That Keeps On Giving. The Gift That Keeps On Giving. And you guys are, for most of everybody's familiar with probably the most well-known scripture in all the Bible, which would be John 3:16, right? Love that scripture. It says so, and it's powerful today. Is if you were thought about it every day, it's so powerful and appropriate for today on Christmas Eve. And so, for God so loved the world. Why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Amen. And we know, you know, talking about the gift, God gave the ultimate gift, his son, did he not? And so if it was just the virgin birth, if the virgin birth was the only gift given by God, it would be nothing more. Now think of this. It would be nothing more than an ancient story we would perhaps read about. If the virgin birth was the end of the story, it would be maybe an old wives' tale, they would call it, or something we would hear about. But that's not the end of the story, is it? That was just the beginning of the story. So today, in celebrating Jesus' birth, I just want to remind everybody here that it was just the beginning, amen? So it was indeed the gift that kept on giving. See, for Jesus, he also, because he lived on this earth for 33 years, he was not only born of the Virgin Mary, but he also lived a sinless and perfect life. Did you know that? He's the only individual, the only human being, the only God, only Son of God, God in the flesh. He's the only one that ever lived a perfect and sinless life for his entire time he was here. So not only was there a miracle birth, amen, there was a miracle life. He lived a perfect sinless life. But you know, he endured a lot of pain while he was here on earth. Do you realize that? It would seem like that if you were born of a virgin and that you lived a perfect life, that you should have a life that would be carefree, that there would be no problems, that nobody could give him problems because he was perfect. He could handle every situation, which he did. But the truth of the matter was, he was not born of a virgin or lived a sinless, perfect life so that he could say, hey, look what I accomplished. No, it was actually the opposite. He came to actually experience absolute rejection. So although he was born of a virgin, although he lived this perfect life, he endured rejection unknown to mankind while he was here. Rejected. People didn't care that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't care about the miracles he did. They actually rejected him. So when he came of a virgin, lived a sinful life, this is what he endured: rejection his entire life. He endured ridicule, people making fun of him, people challenging him, people calling him a liar, people wanting to kill him. So not only was he rejected, but he was ridiculed his entire life, especially during his ministry. His own family, his own brothers didn't even believe he was the Messiah. And finally, he experienced pain and suffering like no other you could imagine. Being whipped. Just think of this, being whipped. So he was whipped with the cat of nine tails that would dig into his back and pull the flesh away from him. He willingly did that. So not only did he endure rejection, not only did he endure ridicule, but he suffered pain like no other. took the whip, he took those stripes on his back. Matter of fact, the word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24 and in Isaiah chapter 53 that by his stripes you and I are healed. He took those stripes. He took that, we'll talk about it. He took all that pain and suffering for a reason. Amen. He was beaten. The word of God says that even his beard was plucked out. Could you imagine? So not just whipped, not all these things he endured, his beard plucked out. He was beaten to where he wasn't recognized. You say, well, why are you talking about that on Christmas, Pastor Chad? Why are you, can't we just talk about the warm, fuzzy birth of Jesus? Because the fact is, if that's all there was to it, you and I wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be joined together as one in Christ Jesus if it was just about the virgin birth. It was part of it, but the truth is it was a gift that kept on giving. Amen? So he was beaten beyond recognition. He had that crown of thorns. They were talking about that crown of thorns that they put upon his head to mock him, to spit upon him, to curse him. But you know, that crown of thorn was so that you and I could have a mind that's at peace and at rest, that would not be tormented by a devil in this world, but that was put on his head so that you and I can walk in clarity of mind and purpose and understanding who Jesus is. Amen. And then finally, he was crucified on a cross for all the purpose of providing the ultimate gift to mankind, for you and I, the gift of salvation. See, it was the gift that kept on giving. Amen. You know, so the thing is receiving this gift is of most importance. It's really important. I read a story, maybe you've heard the story, of a present, a small present that was unopened for 47 years. So this was this young man, a teenager, and this young woman, and this woman, she broke up with this young man at Christmas time. And he was very hurt about it. And then she had the gall to give him this little Christmas present. She said, here, we're breaking up, but I wanted to give you this Christmas present. Would you please open this Christmas present? But he didn't. What he did is he took that present and he threw it under the tree in anger. He was very angry with this young lady. And just to sulk about it, and just to remind himself of what can happen in life, he kept that present unopened for 47 years. Could you imagine that? You know, because of an experience, that gift remained unopened year after year. You know that? You know, maybe you're here today, and maybe because of experiences in your life in the past, that maybe you would not open the gift of salvation, receive the gift of salvation that God has given us. Many times things that have happened in people's lives, you can look at the gift of salvation. You can say, you know, that sounds good. Maybe that's for those folks, or maybe that's for my parents or my grandparents, or maybe that's for my sister or a friend I have at work. They believe in that gift of salvation stuff. But the things that I've experienced, I'm not willing to receive that gift. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus can do all that he's done for you and I. But if you don't receive that gift, if you don't open that gift, it won't do you any good. Amen. You know, it's amazing with that guy that after 47 years, he opened it. Finally, I don't know why it was, but after 47 years, he was actually married 40 plus years and kept that gift that whole time. Can you believe that? A reminder of what that gift maybe meant to him in an area of his life that brought hurt and pain. And so he opened that small gift, and it was a little booklet, and it said on it, "Love is." Could you imagine? It was her gift to him saying, "Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, love looks past people's shortcomings." So after all those years, if he'd opened that, then maybe it could have helped him over that time in his life, but he refused to open it. I'm here to tell you that regardless of what you've experienced in your life, you still want to receive the gift of God's love, because it's actually what will bring healing and deliverance and peace and strength to your life. But you have to receive it. Don't allow anything in your past to say, "I don't want to receive that gift." an amazing thing, 47 years. What's wonderful about this gift of salvation, it's always there. It's always there. It's always there for you to receive, to open, to receive His love, to receive His forgiveness, to receive His salvation, to receive His restoration in your life. But understand, the gift has to be received. 2 Corinthians 9:15, I like this. It says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. How can I even put words to the gift of salvation? I really can't. There's nothing I can say. Here's how it is. You have to experience yourself. I can tell you all about how wonderful Jesus is. I can tell you about all the good things He does in our lives. I can talk to you about all the peace that is yours. But unless you receive it, it remains an unopened gift. Amen. Let me continue on a few scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, just like John 3:16, is Ephesians 2:8-9. What about this? It's for by grace. It's God's grace. See, this gift can't be earned, right? You can't earn this gift. It's not a gift where if you earn it or do good enough in this life that, okay, now you can receive this gift. For that wouldn't be a gift, would it? That wouldn't be a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. How do you receive this gift? It's through faith, putting your trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood for your sins and my sins on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And that gift is every bit as powerful today as it was the day that He offered that gift. Amen. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift. Hear that word? The gift of God. Not a result of works, so no one can boast and say, yeah, I deserve that gift. Look at the things I've done. Of course I deserve that gift. Maybe if you can do what I do or behave like me, maybe you can get that gift like me. But the truth is, nobody deserves that gift. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. It is a free gift received by putting your trust, your faith, like I said, in the finished work of the cross. Amen. You know, I think about the story of the woman at the well. Many of you know that story. She is a woman that came to a Samaritan woman who the Jews didn't even hang out with at all. So here Jesus is not only meeting up with a Samaritan, but it's a Samaritan woman at a well. She'd been married 5 times. She was living with a dude. And Jesus decides to have it a divine appointment to give this woman a gift. How do we know? Because John 4:10 says it just like this. John 4:10 says, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. He says, Jesus replied to her, if you knew the gift of God. And so my question today, to make sure everybody here, do you know the gift of God? If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. That's the wonderful thing about receiving this gift. There's so many things in this gift of salvation. Living water, it satisfies the souls. It's satisfied. Nothing in this world can satisfy yours and my soul. Only the living water of the Holy Spirit through the free gift of salvation. If you knew the gift of God, my question to you is making sure everybody here, reminding you, or if you don't know, of the gift of God, of how much God loves you. Amen. And He showed it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? Once again, reminder of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody must receive this gift of salvation. But again, the wonderful thing is, it's a free gift. Hallelujah. But sometimes people are a little bit skeptical of a gift. Why are they skeptical of a gift? Because what is the motive of this gift? So a lot of times somebody gives you something. You ever been there? It's like, yeah, what are your motives here? What is it that you really want? If you're giving me a gift, why are you being so nice to me? What is it that's really the ulterior motive? And sometimes I think in this day and age, people are concerned about what the ulterior motive of God is. We live in a world where everybody's skeptic, right? And you should be. We want to receive and walk in the truth. But let me tell you that God's motives for you and I are 100% pure in nature. See, he's the one that gave the gift. He's the one that initiated it. He's the one that sent his son for you and I. He didn't even confer with me and say, hey, Chad, this is what I'm considering doing. I'm going to give my son, and this is how it's going to work. No, he didn't even ask anybody. He began to prophesy it in the Old Testament and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And then when the time was right, the mystery of Christ was revealed, and the gift became available for all, Jew and Gentile. His motive is pure. James 1:17 says about the Father, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. His motive is this, it's pure love. His motive is to redeem you from a dead end life. That sounds like a great gift, doesn't it? His desire is to give you a hope and a future that goes beyond this life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. To bring you out of a life of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, our life is but a vapor. We're here and gone. Through Jesus, amen, we live for eternity with God, with the Son of God, with the heavenly host, all based upon receiving this free gift. Isn't that amazing? Man. Or thank you for that free gift. It's a reminder for even us who know him when we struggle. And we're trying to struggle through this life and the things that hit us. And our own weaknesses and faults. And the weaknesses and faults of other ones that we have to deal with in a fallen world. It's a reminder that it all comes back to this free gift, amen, that I can relax and say, Lord, I'm never going to quite get it right. I'm going to continue to put my trust in you. I'm going to continue to allow to work in my life. I'm going to continue to believe that you're for me and not against me, and it's all based upon this free gift. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17, I'll read another wonderful scripture. For if by the offense of the one, that's the fall of Adam and Eve, for if by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, death reigned from Adam and Eve all the way to today. So if that death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, can you say abundance? Abundance. Of grace and of the gift, hear that, the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Let me say that. It says the gift of righteousness. You and I will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Reign over the power of sin. Reign over the voice of the enemy that says you're never going to measure up. Being able to put my trust and confidence in him. Him leading and guiding me. Me being able to rest in him. That's what the gift of righteousness is. He's the one that shows me what's right and wrong. He's the one that helps me when I stumble. He's the one that helped me pick me up and say, let me show you what's causing you to stumble. He's ever so kind and faithful. And it's all because of this wonderful gift. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a few questions. I just want to ask a few questions. I'm going to ask the people to be bold because I just want to pray for you. And so the first question is here is if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I will not embarrass anybody, but we live in a day and age where we need people to stand with boldness. I'm not asking you to stand, but if you need the Lord, I'm asking you to raise your hand and say, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want that free gift. Is there anybody here? Like I said, we're just going to pray together. There's not anybody at all. I want to make sure if I give the opportunity, if there's anybody saying, I need that free, just slip your hand up and put it down. We're going to pray for you. Just want to make sure. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that free gift of salvation. You know, we're going to say a prayer together, if we could. If you're okay with that? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but after the service, if you need someone to talk to, I would love to talk to you. Pastor Richie, there are others here, would love to talk to you if you need someone to pray with you. I know this is our Christmas service. But man, I want to give everybody an opportunity with this free gift. Can you say with me, dear Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary, for washing my sins away. Jesus, I believe you're God. I believe you're at the right hand of the Father. I believe you're coming again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Word of God says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, that you would be saved. It's faith. The power of faith. Just another couple things. Or maybe you've wandered from the Lord and you are feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit that says, come back home. And he's never left you or forsaken you, but maybe you've wandered on your own path. And you're reminded by this free gift today, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Let me tell you, the Lord is always there. I think of the son that went away from his father, right? And then how he went away, but was his father was looking for him, always looking for him. And so as he saw his son coming, before his son could get in the house, the father was there. Let me just say, the father's always looking out after you. He's always, see, the enemy likes to lie and says, you've gone too far, you can't come back. Or, I'm not going to speak to you, look at what you've done. That's called the accuser of the brethren, that's Satan, and he's a liar, and he's the father of all lies. And right now, we command his voice to shut in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the love and the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak to people's hearts right now. Father, we thank you that we're in a time and an age where you're calling back people in droves, Father God, who've maybe been on their own path, but they've come to the end of themselves. And the enemy said, you can't come back. That's a lie, I want you to know. So my question for you, by the raise of hand, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here who's felt like they've wandered from the Lord, and they feel the tug of the Lord calling them back, but this condemning voice keeps speaking to you, and it's inhibiting you from coming? If that's you, be bold. We just want to pray for you. If that's you, be bold. And praise that I just need prayer right now. Anybody at all? Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Another thing, real quick. A couple things. If you felt hopeless or need the Lord's encouragement today, sometimes you can say, hey, I'm walking with the Lord. I love the Lord. But I've been dealing with some hopelessness. See, the enemy does that, he gets his voice in there too. And what happens is he convinces of a reality that does not exist. I've been there before. And then when that thing is broken off of my life, I'm like, this whole time, Lord, I see clearly now. You've lifted that fog. You've lifted that lie of the enemy. Is there anybody here that would say, Lord, I just want prayer. We're going to pray real quick. I just have been dealing with helplessness. Amen. Well, I've been dealing with helplessness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can put those hands down. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. And another one, if you've been dealing with sickness, we want to just say, right where you're at, we won't have you come up here, won't parade you. But if you've been dealing with sick and you just want prayer for sickness, something that's been hanging on, you just need prayer for sickness. While we're here, we just want to pray for that. Amen. Even during a Christmas service, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So two things here. We're going to pray. See, what you expect is when this hopelessness, what you say is you say, Lord Jesus, I've been dealing with this hopelessness. Thank you for breaking that off, the lies of the enemy. And thank you for the truth of God's love just being refreshed to me. I've been there before. I've been there before. So there's no shame. And if you didn't raise your hand for any of those things, for whether you're sickness in your body or for hopelessness has been coming against you, for some of you, it's been a chronic hopelessness. It's been a chronic hopelessness. And you got to understand that you have to receive that by faith. And your faith is powerful. I remember when, in some chronic hopelessness many years ago, when I realized what who Christ was in me, what that free gift accomplished in me, when that voice that in me would try to come back again and bring that hopelessness, I say, in Jesus' name, no, you're not coming near this dwelling. You're not coming near this dwelling anymore. So amen. Father, so right now in Jesus' name, Father, we speak to every lying, demonic spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, the Word of God says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness, evil spirits, those things that try to mimic the voice of God, those things that try to keep us in hopelessness, even chronic hopelessness. Right now, I come against those spirits. Join me in prayer, saints. We come against those things, and we command them to shut their mouths and to go from these people's individuals' lives right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for breaking a hopeless spirit, Lord, a lying spirit. Father God, we thank you for breaking that. And Father, we thank you for times of refreshing. Lord, we thank you for times of refreshing. We thank you for the Word of God, the voice of the God coming again, afresh and anew in people's lives, Father God, afresh and anew, a fresh way, Father God, a fresh sense of your love and your goodness, a fresh sense of that gift of the Holy Spirit, Father. We declare it over our lives. I declare it over those who raise their hands, Father God. We thank you for your victory. Father, as I like to say, you have not called us to cope. You called us to conquer. And I thank you that we're a conqueror through the power of Jesus Christ. So we declare victory right now over our lives in Jesus' name. And those, Lord, that are struggling with sickness, we speak to that sickness. We command it to go in Jesus' name. And we speak life and healing in Jesus' name. Your word says, in 1 Peter 2:24, that by your stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 says that you bore your sicknesses, our sicknesses on the cross so that we could walk in health, Father God. 1 John 3 says that I pray that you would prosper and that your soul would prosper and be in health. And so we speak and declare that, Father God, for all of those that believe right now. We thank you, Lord, it just takes a mustard seed size of faith. Thank you, Father, for faith arising in hearts right now. Now, Father God, for healing, Father, for your deliverance, Father God, for a fresh touch of your spirit. Father, we thank you for breaking the voice of the enemy. And we come against every spirit of sickness, Father God. We thank you that the gospel is powerful. Lord, we thank you what Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we declare that for our lives today, Father. So we praise you and we exalt you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Do you love him today? Amen. Amen. With a time like that, we've got to take communion. Is there anybody here who does not have an element? Would you raise your hand if you slipped in here and somehow didn't receive one? Let me tell you, these little things, you might need to pray while you're trying to open this thing. But there's a little clear layer on top. You pull that back. Amen. And you can get that cracker. Aren't you glad for the free gift of salvation? Amen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't faith amazing? Thank you, Lord, for coming into a day and an hour for just our faith being stirred. I like what Paul said to Timothy. He said, fan the flame of the gift of God that's in you. Did you know he said, fan the flame? Lord, my prayer is this season, Lord, is that we'd be a people, your people, not just in this church, but your church in general in the United States, begin to fan to flame the gift and the love of God inside us. Amen. Amen. So has everybody been able to get that ready? You did a good job, guys. So I'm just going to read real quickly as we take communion. This is from 1 Corinthians 11. I'm just going to read from what Paul had to say. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed and took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, we just pray and say, Lord, we thank you for your body that you gave to us. Lord, it started out as being born of a virgin, but you continue to be the gift that kept giving and giving and giving, even unto this day, Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we receive that today, Father, knowing that you've washed our sins away. We thank you for your blessings on our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat that together. Amen. Just looking out there, you're a good-looking crowd today. Must be Christmas. And then Paul continued, he said, in the same way, can you hold the cup up with me? In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, Lord, that on this Christmas, not only do we proclaim your birth, but we proclaim your death on a cross, so that we could receive the free gift of salvation and all that entails. So we thank you for the blood that was shed, the perfect blood. We worship you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's drink the cup together. Amen. Just wanted to ask, does everybody have a candle before the worship, as the worship team comes to sing a special? But does everybody have a candle? Anybody not have a candle? Now, you could just keep your empty juice cup. We'll gather those at the end. And so what we're going to do here is, as they're singing this special, we have some ushers that are going to go down the aisles, and they're gonna light the candle on the end. And what you could do is, I'm gonna wait for Eddie here. I should have had those all ready to go. Amen. Thank you, Eddie. So we got one more here. So I just want to make sure we do this. So Eddie, go ahead and light my candle. So we got to give instructions here. We don't want any hot wax or, thank you, Jesus, no fires in the building. So if you're on the end, when you go to light the person next to you, make sure, before we continue on, just want to make sure they know. So if you got the candle, so the person that's not lit, they go over like that. So if yours lit, don't go over like this, okay? Let the person that's going to light the candle do that. And at the end, when we get done and we say to blow out the candles, just don't blow it too hard so you don't wax the neck in front of you, the back of the neck, okay? And if you're judging that your kids are too young for a candle, if you got to watch them, just be careful of that. Amen. So as we have our candles, can we stand up now? If you get some blood flowing, and the worship team's got a special song. Thank you. That was awesome. Just real quick, we will be dismissing in just a minute. I just want to mention, you have this candle. Amen. I think of the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:14-16. He says, you are the light of the world. This candle represents you and I. Did you know that? Especially during a time that seems so dark. The darker this room is, the brighter these candles would be, would it not? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so my prayer is during the remainder of this Christmas season, that you and I would be aware of those who are in darkness who need to see the light so that they may come to Jesus Christ. So they may see the love of God in our lives. Is that not true? Is that not true? So the candle representing are the Holy Spirit in our lives, beaming through us, the good works that God has put in your life, that people. So let me encourage you with those who may be with the holidays. Maybe there might be some people that it's difficult for you to be with. I'm sure that doesn't happen often. But let me say that I pray for you and I that we could be the light of the world for those individuals. Amen. We're gonna sing one more Christmas carol, then we'll blow these candles out. Okay.
All right. It's gonna get dark.
And then I just want you to know, as you leave, there should be some buckets. As you leave, there should be some buckets in the back that you can throw these candles out. Okay. Let's close in prayer real quick.
Father God, Lord, I just thank you today. I'm filled with emotions as I'm just so grateful to have your presence in my life. I thank you for your presence that brings grace and peace of love and just a spirit of encouragement as I go on this, come upon this new year, Lord. I thank you for the blessings that you've given each and every family represented in this building. I thank you for the things that are to come. And I'm super grateful for everything that's happened this year, God. Yes. And so I pray for each and every person in this room, Lord, as we come into this season, Lord, that it's not a depressing moment, but it's a time full of joy and happiness. Thank you, Father. As we look at the people around us and see that we are a family. We are a family brought together with one thing in common, and that is you, God. You fill our hearts with joy, and we are just so grateful for your sacrifice. We are so grateful for the birth of your son that died on the cross for us so that we can be forgiven, that opened up a direct line of communication for us so that we can come to you and enjoy our time in your presence. So we thank you, Lord, for this holiday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right.
Amen and amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.